I wanted to talk to you just because I've listened to the Chopin variations that you did. I really like them. Tell me about the technique that you used here.
Well, it's kind of a secret.
Okay, well then don't tell me.
No. I love telling because I think there shouldn't be any secrets. I have two small children, both under the age of 5. Neither of them want to hear scales or exercises or anything coming from the piano at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I had to figure out a system, like what to do. And so basically I have taken felt and I've placed it between the strings and the hammers of the piano. And that really mutes the sound and it gives it like this really dark, muted sound so where I can practice late at night without having to worry about it, you know, waking up anyone. And so I was asked last year in 2013 to write a piece for a very short film. And the felt was engaged without my knowing. And I sat down and I started to play a melody and then I realized, oh, you know, this is on. But I thought it was such a really unique sound. I was like, this is really interesting. And I've practiced this way so long, I've actually gotten used to the sound. And so the imagery of Chopin late at night, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, just a single candle on the piano, he's beginning to sketch out just the melody, you know, of a couple pieces without all of this ornamentation and all the, you know, the flurries that he puts into his pieces, you know, but just the bare bones, like, how would this melody sound? And so that's what I wanted to kind of give the listener the idea as, you know, this is a very late night, didn't want to wake up his neighbors. He's just, you know, putting down the idea. And that's how it came about.
So just very silent, contemplative.
Yeah.
Kind of simple, creative period. Not simple, but a creative period that's very quiet.
Well, and
yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I wanted it to be simple in the fact of even if we take Chopin and we make it down to the bare bones, it's still captivating. His music is still just like spellbinding, even in just the most simplest of forms. And I knew that that would be the case. I knew that in the most simple of contexts, his music would still just be magic.
You know, I'm sure that one of the things that people ask you is, do you feel like you did Chopin justice?
I hope so. I mean, I don't want to speak for him. I'd
yeah.
like to. Bach was really good about this, about take my music, do something with it, you know, give it new life. Let me see what you do. Mess it up or rearrange it. I could see where Chopin would have that mindset too, which is, you know, we're kind of introducing Chopin to a new audience. And, you know, the emails that I get are, a lot of them are people that have never been, you know, a listener of Chopin. And now they're like, wow, this is really interesting. I actually want to go back and listen to the original pieces now and see what they're actually like.
That certainly is a boost for Chopin and a boost for classical music in a way.
There is a huge resurgence going on in instrumental music, and particularly classical music, in my opinion. And you're really seeing this, particularly in Europe as well, to where I kind of equate it to like a record store analogy. Like the last generation, or like my parents, they would walk into a record store and they would go exactly to the genre that they would listen to, you know, and mm-hmm. say, let's say pop. They'd walk in and say directly to the pop section, you know. Goodness, they would never ever go to jazz or to world or country or something. So those never intertwine. But now with the Spotify generation, I think we're beginning to see the decay of the whole genre labeling and to where a song is going to come up and either they're going to give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down, no apologies, and they have no reason to feel guilty if they like it or guilty if they don't. And I think that's amazing because now we're seeing instrumental music coming in front of people that otherwise wouldn't have heard it. And they're like, huh, this is interesting. I like this. And they'll give it a thumbs up. And then the streaming service or the radio station or the friends will say, well, if you like that, you should check this out. You know, so.
And then they will.
And they will.
Do you have a background in jazz piano?
Mm-hmm.
So what drew you to this project?
Well, even though I have a very strong jazz background, I began classical. So it's in a roundabout way, it was kind of returning to my roots of classical. But in 2011, I released an album called The Piano. And on that release, there are two pieces that I composed myself that are very classical style in nature. And then I began to see I was doing a radio program, and they played some of the pieces, and then I began to see tweets saying, "Oh, I'm listening to Chad Lawson perform Chopin's Nocturne in A minor, you know, or his Ballade in C minor." I'm like, "Those are my pieces. You know, I wrote those. Those aren't Chopin pieces." I was flattered that, you know, someone would think that. But then what surprised me was the amount of love people had for Chopin. Obviously, Chopin, poet of the piano, I get it. You know, he's the poet of the piano. I completely understand that. But I was dumbfounded by the amount of interest. What happened is I just wanted to make an interpretation of it. Now, with the strings.
Yeah,
so you
that
have,
you added.
You have Ruben Cadelli, who's a cellist, and you have Judy King, who's a violinist. And both of them have impeccable backgrounds. They're both Juilliard grads. But Ruben, the cellist, I mean, he's played with everyone from Kanye West to Norah Jones. And the violinist, Judy King, she was with the Lady Gaga tour and Ryuichi Sakamoto. So, I mean, they have, you know, extensive performances with other people. But I actually sent them just the piano parts. So mm-hmm. I did not write out any of the strings. That's entirely their own arrangements and their own compositions as far as the string parts. Because my mindset is find people that are incredibly talented and let them do their thing. You know, I don't know how a cello sits in the hand or how a violin, you know, fits as far as, you know, the fingering positions and what feels natural for a string player. So I actually recorded all the piano first, and then I sent the tracks up to them and I gave them carte blanche. I said, just do whatever you want. I just gave them one word, which was space, you know, just make sure there's plenty of space.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really a true collaboration in the sense of this album's recording.
Yes. Did they do this in a room together?
The cellist actually did all of his parts first.
Uh-huh.
And then Judy, the violinist, came and did her parts afterward. So, yeah, so they did not plan anything together. They did everything separate,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really unique because now I've had all the music transcribed. And so when we perform it live together, last night, the last couple of days was the first time that we've actually been together as a group performing these pieces, and it was fascinating to hear live. It was really great. It was amazing.
Yeah. Was it a different kind of energy?
Absolutely.
I would think so.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because I found two players that know how to listen as much as they know how to play, and so there were times where you just felt like you were just dancing together.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.